I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort, a word of challenge, a word of hope, and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit in our lives. Amen. So from our reading in Acts today, this Pentecost story, we heard, "But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter stood up and said, 'These men are not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. Yeah, it's okay to laugh. It's a funny verse, right? It's strange. In fact, this is, I think, one of the funniest verses in all of Scripture. Luckily, it wasn't 10 a.m. It'd be a whole different story. No. The whole crowd here, though, sees the same thing. This is such a telling verse. They all see the same thing, the same Holy Spirit, the same miracle, the same speaking in a multitude of languages. Yet some people see this for what it is, a miracle, and they are amazed. But others somehow see the same thing and think it's just nonsense. They think it's drunken craziness. Makes you wonder, what's the differentiating factor between these two groups of people, these two perceptions on that day? Well, I was thinking about this, and perhaps you've actually experienced something like this in your life. Have you ever tried to tell someone a story about what God's been up to in your life, how the Holy Spirit has been moving, how the Spirit opened this door or closed this door or brought you just the right person or word at the right time, but then all of a sudden the person you're telling, they're not really a person of faith, and so they say, "Well, that's nice, but it kind of sounds like coincidence to me. I don't see what God has to do with that." I know I've had experiences like that. I have a dear friend of mine who has a different worldview than me. This is a friend that goes way back to college, and I remember at the end of college days when we were figuring out what was going to come next in our lives, he wasn't so sure he believed in this God stuff, let alone Christianity. And so we had all these debates and conversations and questions. Wonderful. I really valued those times together. I remember one day, when we were having a conversation, I told him a story, because at the end of my college time, the last semester, I only had one or two classes to finish up, and so I had all this extra time, and I thought, well, I probably should get a job, because I've got this debt mounting, as happens with college, and so I thought, well, this is a college town, surely I'll go out and just get a job for these 6 months, and work hard, and earn some extra money to pay for things, and so I thought I would go to the local grocery store. They hire lots of college students, and they said no. And then I went to the local farm store. I had the credentials, right? And they said, no. So I went to the Subway restaurant. I'm like, I can make sandwiches. They said no. Then I thought, well, surely this McDonald's will hire me. No, they didn't want me either. And just when I started to wonder what was wrong with me, that if there was something I was not understanding about myself, this door opened, and I got offered a job. It came to me to work for the summer and at the end of that school year at a detention center in town that worked with teenagers and kids who had been in rough situations. And I got asked to come and teach religious education and do music and do a summer program with them. And I said, aha, the Holy Spirit has been working. This is why all these other doors closed, so God could bring me to this. And I told my friend this story, and I said, surely you can see how I would think that God is involved in this, right? And they said, no. We're still friends to this day. We still have some great, deep conversations. He's still a skeptic. Still says it sounds like coincidence, like you're on new wine or something, but I'm still always amazed, always the one looking for a sign, looking for the miracle, looking for the way the Holy Spirit is moving in the world. And over the years, I've never seen flames descend from on high. I've never felt the rushing wind like we hear in the story or seen something like this plethora of languages spoken miraculously, but I have no doubt that there are times, many times in my life, in the life of friends and others that I know, where the Holy Spirit was there, filling the room, filling the relationship, filling the situation. I have no doubt of the Holy Spirit's work in my life, taking me down paths and to places I never dreamed that I would go. But one of the challenges of understanding the Holy Spirit and seeing that is it's not always crystal clear. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's powerful, but it always takes this openness, this holy imagination to discern and see where the Spirit's moving. And for we as people of faith, sometimes we're willing to do that, but there are others in the world that maybe want just certainty or proof or sensibility. Part of the other challenge of the Pentecost story is that these experiences, they don't necessarily happen all the time, these big profound moments, right? In fact, they can seem incredibly rare. And if we look really close at the story today, we see something in it that we probably know to be true from our own lives. You see, the Pentecost experiences are almost always preceded by this excruciating period of waiting. If you find yourself here today waiting for the Holy Spirit to act, you are in good company. Maybe asking God for direction or for healing or for an answer to a question or a word, looking at this story today and saying, God, that's what I need. I want to experience that clarity now today. But we can't forget that before the story, before the moment of the Spirit's arrival, was waiting, was worry, was fear. Sound familiar? The word Pentecost actually literally translated means the 50th day. You see, Pentecost was not something new that just began that day. It was actually an annual harvest festival, and it happened 50 days after the Passover, hence the word the 50th day, Pentecost. So let's think about that for a moment. This thing that happened in the story today, this was 50 days after the cross and the resurrection. Now, after that, we know Jesus appeared to them again, but it was different. It was off and on. It wasn't like before. And we don't have a clear picture of the timeline between the resurrection, the ascension, and what happened at Pentecost, but certainly it seems they had been waiting for a while. And now 50 days may not seem like a long time to wait, unless maybe you have small children and you say, no video games for 50 days. Then they would say, that's a lifetime. But for the disciples, for those who were waiting after Jesus had left them, 50 days also feels like an eternity. So why 50 days? Why does God wait 50 days to send the Spirit? Well, you see, on this 50th day, the Pentecost Harvest Festival, it was one of three annual festivals that happened in the life of the Jewish people. There was the Passover festival, this harvest festival, and then another one called the Ingathering festival, kind of surrounding the year, the seasons, and the harvest. These all went back to Moses. They were prescribed in the law that came down on Sinai. And they were celebrated every year for all of these centuries. And what we found is that by the time of Jesus, this is post-exile. At some point in their history, the Israelites had been exiled by these other powers and turbulence, and people had been pushed out to other countries, and they didn't all return to Jerusalem. So by the day of Jesus, we had devout, faithful Jews living in northern Africa, living all over the Middle East, in Mesopotamia, in the Mediterranean. They were all over the place. And so these festivals, these three festivals, were places where they were encouraged to make a pilgrimage back to the center of it all, back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. So why does God keep them waiting these 50 days? Because this is the opportune moment. Everyone was in town for this festival from all over the world. There was no better time for the Spirit to pour out and send these believers, these early church leaders out to proclaim the gospel, the opportune moment. Just at that time, the Spirit fills them, and they go out and they tell the story of Jesus in the middle of the biggest event of the year. And they do it in a multitude of languages. Why? Because there's all of these people from all over, and they will all know that this story about Jesus is for them as well. And they will be amazed, and they're going to take it back home with them, right? They're going to see this and experience this and hear this news, and they're going to go home telling and retelling the story on their way, on their travels, and when they get back into their home places, paving the way for the church to grow and expand when the apostles will soon begin their mission shortly after this. See, God wasn't having them wait to teach them a lesson or to build character or to create a more dramatic plot line like in a Netflix binge-watching TV show that drives you crazy. It wasn't that kind of waiting. Jesus had instructed them to wait, and God was preparing them for that opportune moment so that when the moment finally came, when the wind rushed in, when the tongues of fire descended and the languages poured out to tell the story, they began to do things they never thought they could do. They began to do things that they had never done before, and in a flash, in the blink of an eye, they moved from waiting to action. This waiting, it isn't passive. This is a faithful waiting. It's preparing, it's watching, it's praying, it's imagining and readying ourselves for when the Spirit comes so that when the Spirit says go, we're ready to go. So it's an active waiting, a faithful waiting. And they're waiting here because Jesus had told them to do it. Now, sometimes in our lives, we don't often get that clear directive from Jesus, right? Sometimes we're not sure exactly what we should be doing, so we just do our best to live a life of faith, serving others and sharing the love of God. And that's how we are to do things. But at other times, the Spirit does tell us to wait. Not yet. Wait for that opportune moment. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty terrible at this. I'm not good with the whole patience thing in this arena. And the thing is, nobody ever tells you to be patient unless you actually need to be patient and you don't want to. Have you noticed this? When you are patient, nobody's like, have patience, right? It's always when you don't want to hear it. And I'm not the kind of person who's good at that. So when there's something that I see needs to be done, I just want to get it done. Or when there's a big thing coming up, I want to get to work on that and chase it. And I just don't want to wait. But imagine what Pentecost would have looked like if those early disciples, those apostles, would have fallen into that trap that I fall into. I imagine they must have been getting fidgety. What if they had said, let's take matters into our own hands. What are we waiting around for? I mean, Jesus said to go and make disciples. Let's go. And they just took matters into their own hands and ran out into the streets haphazardly saying, hey, I've got to tell you about Jesus. Hey, you, just wait. No, really, it's a good story. What would have happened? They would have been wasting their breath and scattered. And moreover, they would have missed the moment when the Spirit finally came and descended on that house, filling them up. But they listened and they waited. And they went with the Spirit's guidance, with God's plan. And that happened at the opportune moment. And when they did that, then the work they were doing has substantially more impact. Then it has power. Then the work that they're doing bears immense fruit. Do you know what the stats were at the end of that day? In verse 41, if we look further down in the text today, it says, so those who welcomed his message, Peter's message, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. 3,000 people. I'm no Peter, and I don't think 3,000 people are going to be added to the faith and baptized today because of these words. Though you never know, they might go online and listen to the sermon later in the week, and it could be, but doubtful. But I tell you, sisters and brothers, I've seen the Spirit moving this week. Just a few days, the last few days, earlier at the end of the week, a number of us from Good Shepherd were out in Kansas City for our annual Synod Assembly for the Central States Synod. We gathered with 400 other members of the body of Christ from our synod there for 3 days, where we prayed together, we worshiped together, we wrestled through some tough questions and policies together, and together, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we were able to joyfully elect a new bishop to lead our synod, the Central State Synod, the Reverend Susan Candia. And it was amazing to see these followers of Jesus gathered together from all across Missouri and all across Kansas. And to hear the stories as I talked with other people from other churches, other leaders, about what the Spirit is up to in our synod, about how all these stories about how just at the opportune time the Spirit moved, God showed up, an amazing ministry happened. God certainly gives each of us individually a measure of the Holy Spirit, filling us and telling us to go out and to share the story of Jesus, to tell the world that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you have a place at this table. This is our calling. To go out and feed the hungry, proclaim release to the captives, and continue the faithful work and mission of Jesus. But when we come together, when we listen together, and when we gather, and when we faithfully wait for the Spirit's work to fill us, lead us, and direct us, and activate us, that's when we see truly amazing things happen. That's when we start to see miracles, start to see the impossible come to life. So in the spirit of unity with the whole church around the world, in the spirit of Pentecost, when Christ was proclaimed in every language to make clear that the good news of salvation is for all the world, for every human being, we want to move into our hymn of the day and teach you a song, as Pastor Rich talked about. This is a song that comes from the country of Zimbabwe. It's in our hymnal. It's in the red hymnal, 819, I believe. But it comes to us from Zimbabwe. This is the traditional hymn that's common there, and it's in the language of Shona. You may know the melody. You may have sung it in English before. But today, we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit will fill you and make you all Shona speakers, at least for a little bit. So we're going to go ahead with that.